All right, fun bunch. It is my honor and my pleasure to introduce you guys or reintroduce you guys, some of you, to my dear friend Dina Alexanian. She is a therapist, she is a dancer, she has an awesome nonprofit. Truly, she is just a wizard. And my go-to for when I'm trying to understand what my brain and my spirit are doing with this world. And so it really just feels super awesome to revisit this conversation about chakras right now. Many of you guys know I released an album of chakra mantras called God Speak. For those of you who don't know, God Speak is an album of chakra mantras wherein I took the chakra mantras, I took each of those mantras, added God and love, and translated them into Swahili. And this month,
No
we are.
biggie.
Thanks.
Just what you did.
Thank you.
Took a
Thanks.
shower, took a shit, and then I translated everything into Swahili.
I appreciate this is what I mean by my dear friend. She's just keep it funky. When you hang out with magic people, you got to raise to your magic self. But I'm really grateful for the divine appointment of having done it because thanks to the many conversations you and I had about the chakras, I was inspired to lean into how to heal myself. And so I tell people over and over again, it may sound like I did something magical, but really I just did what I needed. And I leveraged the tools that people like you offered to me. And so I'm really excited because today we're going to talk about the root chakra, Mulandara. We're going to talk about the root chakra. We're going to get from the rooter to the tutor eventually. But today we are talking about the root chakra. Explain, first of all, before we jump into all of it, explain to the people, what is a chakra?
A chakra is a real thing, people. It is not a woo-woo thing. So we have like millions of meridian points all over our body, energy points, right? And the chakras sort of are the foundations of the other points that branch out from it, right? So there's seven main chakras. They run up the back of the spine, but they radiate out. So a lot of times when you see pictures of the chakras, you'll see it from the front, the colors coming up from the front, but they're really from the spine. And they are the major foundational meridian points of the body where all energy is branching out from. Okay.
So these are like energy centers. I love that you say that these are not woo-woo. I really, really am grateful for the time that we live in this world where people are having more conversations about and no longer calling it alternative medicine, like the idea that Eastern medicine is like, some kind of pie in the sky concept. Like these are generations upon centuries upon centuries of practices. And the root chakra, explain the significance of the root chakra.
It's so significant because it is the root of everything. It's the foundation, right? So you can't really go on or even discuss anything else if you're not talking about the base, right? So it would be like standing on the earth and not talking about the earth. So the root chakra is the very first one. It's at people say it's like at the sit bone. So if you're sitting on the ground, it would be where your sit bone hits the ground. It's also some people describe it as like the entire pelvic floor, that area. And developmentally, and this is kind of my own thing, is that I combined a lot of psychology and developmental stages w and applied them over to the chakras, right? So developmentally, that root chakra is around 2 years old. We don't, in psychology and in the development, we don't really talk that much about before 2 years old. 0 to 2 is sort of this stage where you're sort of, sometimes people would say even like still involved in your past life too much or something, but you're not really fully formed in a sense. And two is where you start to get fully formed. And that root chakra, which is signified by the color red, by the Om Lam, L-A-M. So instead of Om, you say Lam in that area. Yeah, in that area. And there's like Hertz frequency. There's a lot to it. But the root chakra is the foundation of everything. It's the very basics of survival. Mm-hmm. So when we think about food, shelter, water, as adults, do I have safety. A job?
Yeah.
Is there money coming in? Do I even? Yeah. And so there is a lot of working through that root chakra. It's a mantra of I am safe, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe.
Okay, in the album God Speaks, I took the chakra mantra, which I read is just simply I am. And I think that what's so powerful about that is when I was young, I was taught that anything that comes after I am is a declaration, right? So if you say I am poor or I am sick or I am, you're declaring it so, right? You're casting the spell over your life, which is why I wanted to make my mantra, I am the divine love of God. Mm. I am so loved by God. I am so drenched in this special love, this graceful love that God has for me. Because I feel like in knowing that my core, my root, the base of who I am, then believes that there is a wellspring of protection, that there's this wellspring of safety, that there's this wellspring of opportunity, because if I'm divinely loved by God, then of course there are opportunities that are coming to me freely and constantly, that I'm available for more love to come into my life because I am God's special love. You know?
Well, girl, you just jumped into all, like a whole bunch of the other chakras. But it's a beautiful thing because what you did was even the connection to God in itself or to the universe or to spirit is all the way up to the seventh crown chakra.
Yeah.
But in a lot of like Kriya Yoga, they work a lot with the crown chakra, but you have to go through each chakra to the crown, from the bottom to the crown, to the second to the crown, to the third to the crown. Like that's what you're doing in that practice, which I really, really suggest for people to learn Kriya Yoga because it's pretty amazing. But so in what you're talking about is connecting those two, which is really beautiful, which means that things are flowing very well for you. Mm-hmm. The root would be a little less ethereal, but still in that space of I am protected.
Yeah.
If you can get there, that's wonderful. Yeah. But if you, especially at 2 years old, grew up in an environment where food and money was scarce, there was scarcity, then in its lowest vibration, you walk through the world very fearful. Some people just get generalized anxiety disorder and they're always feel like they don't have enough. Yeah. Like they're always saying like, no, I'm super broke. I can't afford that. I don't know if I'm going to get paid. Like, I don't know when the next paycheck is happening. I don't know oh my God, like there's just not enough. Like, and then in a higher vibration, you're in the space that you're talking about more, which is you just believe that everything's going to be all right because you're fundamentally protected and everything is for your better good, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think about the communities that I feel I aim to serve, you know, the doers and the do-gooders, the people who mean to do good in the world, a lot of times we come from fuckery, man. We've come through extreme pain. You go into any activist community and they're activated because they don't want nobody to deal with what they dealt with, you know?
Absolutely.
But we're often are operating from that space, not feeling safe, not feeling protected, not feeling that sense of of divine providence or guidance, right? What are some of the things that you feel, in particular for people who are living in urban centers, historically oppressed people, people of color, you know, immigrants, so forth, what are some of the things that you feel, and obviously you guys, don't worry, Dina will be back. She is a mainstay. She is a part of our community. This is not the last time we will have this conversation. I know it's short. There'll be conversations and workshops and workbooks. Don't worry. But just for this, just a little takeaway, what are a few of the things that you feel people can do right now that will help them to either get in alignment with their root chakra or to maintain alignment with their root chakra?
Oh gosh, there's so much stuff, you know, because when you're working with people in their chakras, you really, like for me now in my psychology practice, it's on the top of my mind all the time when I'm talking to clients. So like if I have a client that grew up in that kind of poverty and stuff, for instance, I have a client that grew up in that type of poverty and now has vaginismus. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's when you have extreme nerve endings around the vagina and it's super painful to have sex, like incredibly painful. And it's interesting because the muscles clench up and it gets much, much worse when her husband spends a lot of money and she gets freaked out about money, right? So I see that now differently. I'm like, oh, the root chakra, like we need to work with this root chakra, right? So I would say, I mean, each individual is different, but of course the first step is to just become conscious, learn about the chakras and start to become conscious. Like, well, this is a thing that I have, right? Mm-hmm. And then become in touch with that narrative. What am I always saying to myself? Like, hold on to that money. You don't have enough, like this and that. And how do I want to change that narrative? And what does that mean when I declare things? Like you said, I am, like, I am broke. When you hear people say that, I'm broke all the time. That is a declaration, you know? So becoming conscious of that and making a really conscious choice to try to start to change that narrative, which takes a lot of time and meditation into that space and remembering what happened in that time and then reminding yourself in the moment, that is not me right now. Mm-hmm. That's not happening right now. Mm-hmm. That happened. That is not me right now. I am safe. So a lot of meditation, a lot of, on a very concrete level, creating certain structure for yourself, you know, that's very helpful for any kind of trauma. Knowing I wake up at this certain time, I do this, because when you feel like you have no control over what's happening in your life, then at least you can control your schedule and your routine and you can have some predictability, some understanding that when I do A, I'm going to feel like B, you know? So that's just like basic starting points. But this stuff is deep, you know? Some people might have to go back to their parents, start talking to them about what was going on in their lives. Is there some way to rectify or give me a corrective emotional experience or have some kind of way of healing that to understand that that is not how my life has to be now?
You know, one of the things that, thank you for that, you guys, like I said, Dina is going to be around and help us walk through these chakras, but also the modalities to help us stay in balance or become in balance. One of the things that has been coming up quite a lot for me in prayer and in conversation with fellow creatives, because you know, we creatives, we be outside our minds regularly, is I am not my experiences. I never have been and I never will be. I am not my experiences. And that for me has been a really powerful thing to acknowledge and to understand. And, you know, again, through our relationship and talking about the power of our minds and the power of trauma, really, right? Where we'll recreate experiences unconsciously so as to hopefully have a different outcome. That for me, as I have aligned myself with the idea that I am not my experiences, when the circumstance that mimics a traumatic experience connected to me not feeling safe, to me not feeling protected, shows up, I'm able to deal with it without the same level of fear or rage, mm-hmm. because I'm aware that I'm not
conscious.
Yeah, I'm conscious, like you said. And that consciousness for me has been remembering that I'm not my experiences, that that I'm a divine incarnation and that I came to have this human experience, but I am divine. You know, that that has been a really powerful thing for me. And definitely something that our conversations have helped to lead me to understand.
Staying conscious is really, really challenging. You know, I always tell people in therapy is not a magic pill. It just forces you to become conscious. And staying aware all the time, it's like, let's say I'm right-handed and now I need to start to be left-handed. It means that I have to stay, let me pick this up with my left hand. Let me brush my hair with my left hand. The moment you fall unconscious, you've used your right hand because that's your default setting. You have to be like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me get back to it. When you're in trauma, it's like tunnel vision, girl. Like you can't see, your whole visceral body is reacting. So you may be in a completely different scenario than you were when the first trauma happened, but all you're seeing is this tunnel. It's like one tunnel through and that's it. You can't see everything around that's different. And once your body goes into that visceral trauma reaction, it's very hard to bring it back. Yeah. You can do all the things. Oh, you're supposed to do the breathing exercise, supposed to do this. But really what your body wants to do is either fight or flight. Like it just wants to run away. And I've been there. I've been in scenarios like that where I'm like, I cannot control the fact that I can't breathe right now. Or like, and all I can think is, I got to get out of here. I got to run. I got to get out of here. It's not until maybe a couple of days later that I'm able to sit down and process it. So, you know, part of it is consciousness. Part of it is predicting too, like starting to understand, like, you know, that story that's like, I'm walking down the street and I fall in this hole. And then I walk down the street, the same street the next day, and I fall in the hole and I'm like, oh God, I forgot that hole was there. And then the third time I'm like, oh, that hole's there. But yeah, I fell. Like, I don't know what else to do. Right. And then it's like, oh, I fell in the hole, but then I learned how to climb out of it. And then, and eventually you're like, bitch, there's another street. Oh, look at that. There's just another street.
This is a whole ass other street.
Yeah. Right. So it's that kind of thing of like, this is an environment that's good for me. I know myself now. And I know that I don't need to challenge myself around that. Right. I already know that doesn't feel good.
Right, right.
You know?
Patience and compassion for yourself is such a grace. Healing agent. Grace, like giving yourself the kind of grace that you wish life had given you in the first place that caused the trauma is so powerful. Well, I am really, really excited about continuing to share the wisdom that you have with our community and mining this collective wisdom so that everyone has access to the healing modalities. It's all around us. And I think the more that we get to share what heals us, the more that we get healed. So I'm grateful. This is the gift that keeps on giving for me. And so I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to share it with my community. Thank you so much, Dina.
Thank you, Jen. And we are all incredibly grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you to your mama and to your daddy.
And your mama's mom.
Yeah.
Your mama's mama's mama.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I love you dearly. And
I love you too.
We talk the next time. Y'all be easy. Y'all be good. Y'all be joy filled. And remember, you are indeed the divine love of God. Ashe.